Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Sorry about the delay. The whole world is so dependent on technology for everything, like not just everything, medicine, science, electricity, everything. And when it stops, when it's not working, it throws us for a loop. Okay, Zoom people, you're on a Wi-Fi hotspot with my phone. I hope it's going to last you for the duration of the shir, and my recorder will work, please God. Okay, so let's get learning. We're almost Erev Purim. I must give you the calendar. Please listen to the March schedule. Obviously, today there's class, and here we are. This is extremely important. After today's shir, there are only two shirim left here Thursday morning till we break for Chag. Next week, March 9th, there is shir. And then we have Shir March 23rd. That's it. There's no Shir March 16th. And there's no Shir March 30th. It's a few days. It's less than a week before Pesach. So after today, there are two Thursday classes left before we break for Yom Tov. So if you're looking at March, there's no Shir March 16th. And there is no Shir March the 30th. And then we will not resume till April the 20th. Hey, I've cleared this with Rabbi Shachter, and I let the Young Israel of Woodmere office know, and I'm letting all of you know as well. So next week there is shir. We should all be well. March 9th, yes, shir. March 16th, no shir. March 23rd, yes. March 30th, no. And then we're on hiatus, and we resume Be'ezor Hashem, hopefully Bishalayim Habnuya, on April the 20th. Okay? So in the meantime, we have shir today and next week, and then I'll remind you next week about the schedule. Okay, so let's get into our learning. We are talking about Parshas Zachar. We began with the first half of our shir last time, and we will have the second half of this two-part series today, because this coming Shabbos, we will all go to Beis Knessas. Zachor is Asher Salcha Amalek, V'derech B'tzereschem B'mitzrayim, V'derech B'tzereschem Mimitzrayim, Asher Karcha B'derech, V'yizanei B'chol Kol HaNechashalim Acharecha, V'ata Oyev V'yageya, V'lo Yarei Elokim, we spoke about that last time, V'haya Baniach Hashem Elokecha L'cha Mikol Edecha Misaviv, V'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosei Nechonach, Halo L'rishta Timche Et Zecher Amalech Mitachas HaShemayim Lo Tishkach. We spoke about Ayef last time. We spoke about what does it mean to be Yare Elokim based on a beautiful insight from Yerom Chazoni. I forgot to tell you something last time, and it was in my notes. I just forgot, so I want to follow it up before we get to the new learning of today. There's another beautiful example of where you see Yare Elokim means to be ethical, moral, and Rabbi... Yaram Chazoni proposed that Yirei Elokim, if you fear God, the measure of if you fear God is how you treat other people, how you treat the weak, how you treat the downtrodden. We went through many examples last time in Chumash of how you see this to be true. I forgot to tell you one that I thought of, and it's so beautiful. It ties in so beautifully. Vayikra paro l'miyaldusei ivrios, perak al pasuk tezvav of Shemos, asher shema achas shifra, v'shema shenis pua. What did he say to them, perak al pasuk tezayin? What did he tell them to do? You all know what he told them to do. Kill the baby boys. Okay, in English, what did he tell them to do? Reisam al-dan. V'yaldachan esa ivrios, reisam al-havnaim, imbenu v'amitenoso, v'imbasu utuchayun. In English, kill the baby boys when they're born. Perak al-pasuk yidzayin, v'atir ena ha-miyaldos esa elokim, v'lo asu kasher diber aleim paro melech mitzrayim. What does the Torah tell us about why they didn't kill the baby boys? They feared Hashem. And now we know what it means. Vatir ena hamiyaldos esokim. It fits in so perfectly with this incredible psha. The villain, the one who does not fear God, does not know how to treat the weak, the downtrodden, the crippled, like my grandfather wrote, the defenseless, those who cannot help themselves. Because Shifra and Pua were Yirei Elokim, i.e., they were moral, ethical, compassionate, Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomei Chasadim. How does the Torah define that, Yirei Elokim? Therefore, of course, Velo Asu Kasher Diber Aleim Paro Melech Mitzrayim Utichayana Esha Yiladim. And it ties in so perfectly to what we spoke about and what we proposed last time. So that's really part of last week's shir, but I forgot to use that example, and I wanted to share with you because it's really so perfect to illustrate this point of what it means to be a Yirei Elohim. Okay, let's go on. Last time we went through the Pesukim, both in Shemos B'Shalach Yud Zayin and Parshas Zachar, which I started with, which we're going to lay in this Shabbos from the second Sefer Torah, Devarim Chav Hei. We went through the Pesukim, we quoted a number of Rashis. We focused on two main insights last time, which is on Ata Ayef V'Yageya, this idea of Ayefus in Avodas Hashem, Amel Kof. That's one insight that we spoke about. And the other thing we spoke about in the second half of class was the idea of Yirei Elohim, which I give you just now, an addendum to last time's class today. Today I want to talk more about Amalek, their methodology, and then this idea of Zachor. Because in both passages from Chumash, which I pointed out to you last time, in B'Shalach Yud Zayin, what does Hashem tell Moshe after the war? K'sov zo Zikaron b'sefer v'sim ba'ozna Yoshua ki macha emcha et zecher Amalek. It doesn't have to say k'sov zo zikaron b'sefer. It could just say k'sov zo b'sefer. Write this in the book. What is k'sov zo zikaron b'sefer? And in our passage, this whole Shabbos is called, it's not called Parshas Pre-Purim. It's not called Parshas Amalek. It's called Parshas Zachor, and the word Zachor appears twice in these three psukim. Zachor es asher asah lecha Amalek, Zachor es asher asah lecha Amalek, Timcha et Zechor Amalek. So the remembrance of Amalek is of vital importance, and that is what the mitzvah actually is. The mitzvah Aseh De'oraisa is this mitzvah of Zechira. I'm going to begin in a medrash, medrash Esdrav. I just hope everything is working. The Wi-Fi hotspot, the Zoom, and my recorder seems to be b'liayin har, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I want to begin in the Medrash. Medrash Esther Rabbah, Parsha Zayin, Simon Yerbis. So we know that Haman does not like the Jews. Why? Because he doesn't like Mordechai. Mordechai lo yichva v'lo yishtachava, v'yimale Haman chema, v'yivez be'enav l'shloch miyad b'mordechai levado. I'm only going to kill the guy who doesn't bow down to me. Let me get against him and his entire people. And he goes to Achashverosh and he offers 10,000 talents of silver. And Achashverosh has a kesef dasunach. You don't even have to pay me. Ha'am laso bo katov be'enecha. What does he say to Achashverosh? Why should we kill the Jews? Yeshno am echad mefuzar umefurad bein ha'amim v'chol medinos machusecha v'daseim shono mikol am v'estasei ha'melech einam osim. There is this one people who are scattered and dispersed through all the provinces of your kingdom. The law of the king they do not keep. It's not worth it for the king to kill them. For the king to keep them, it is worth it for the king to kill them. So I'm going to quote Medrash Esther Rabbah Zayin. What exactly was Haman saying? So first the Medrash talks about the word Yeshno from Shena, sleeping. There's three different parts to this Medrash, and we're going to go through the Medrash. What was the first thing? Also Shenemar Bo Hashem Echad. The one about whom it says Hashem is one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Devarim 6:4, Yashen lo me'amo. Haman said, Hashem is sleeping. Yeshno am Echad is a reference to God. Yeshno am Echad, the Echad of the Am, not Echad Ha'am, there's a poet. Echad Ha'am, the one, capital O, who's supposed to be taking care of his people, Yeshno, he is sleeping. This is the first thing that Haman said. It's a good time to kill the Jews because their God is sleeping. Also, Shanamar Bo Hashem Echad, the one about whom it says the Lord is one, Yashen Lo Me Amo. He went to sleep on his people. That's what Haman says to Achashverosh. Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said to Haman, so to speak, and he Ein Lefanei Shena. You think I'm sleeping? There is not sleep before me. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, you all know the pasuk, kapitel kuf chaf aleph, hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Behold, the garden of Israel does not sleep, nor does he slumber. Va'ata amarta yesh lefanei shena, and you say, he yeshno am echad, that the one protector of the nation has fallen asleep. Chayachot, I swear by your life, God takes an oath, shemitoch shena, from sleep, ani misorer al oso ha'ish. I will wake up, be aroused against this man, meaning Haman, umi abdo mina olam, and I will destroy him from the world. So the pasuk, interestingly, the Medrash does not quote the Megillah, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, which to me is such an obvious connection. Hashem says, you think I'm sleeping? There is no sleep before me. Like the verse says, Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. And you say, Ata marta yesh lefanei shena, chayecha, shamitoch shena. I swear by your life that through sleep, ani misorer, I will be aroused, I will wake up, I'll also ish, over that man, meaning over you. U'ma'abdo min ha'olam. I will annihilate him. I will destroy him from the world. To me, it seems so obvious. When does Hashem says, I'm going to wake up from you? So when does Hashem wake up? Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Balayla Hahu, Nedada, Shnar Samelech, the king can't sleep. So what does he say? Vayikra, Lavi, Lefanav, Sefer HaZichronos, Lefnei HaMelech. So because he can't sleep, he wakes up. He calls for the Sefer HaZichronos, Zichronos.
Yeah.
Ah. When the king wakes up, he calls for the Sefer HaZichronos. I didn't even think of that. Parsha Zohar, perhaps, is not only the Zechira Amalek, but it's an allusion to the Zechira before the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar Kol HaNishkachos. Balayla Hohu Nedadar Shnas HaMelech. The Medrash tells us that any time, the Medrash tells us any time it doesn't have Shem Hashem, it doesn't have Shem Achashveirosh, it's referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, Balayla Nedadar Shnas HaMelech, Vayikra Lavi Lefanav, I'm saying the pasuk not exactly correct, Sefer HaZichronos, Divrei HaMelech, Divrei Yamim, I don't remember the exact lashon. So, to bring before him the Sefer HaZichronos, so through waking up, which God took an oath, he said, Chayach, I swear by your life, I'm going to wake up from the Shena that you accuse me of, and I'm going to cause you to be lost from the world. He reads that Mordechai saved him from Big Son of Sarash. At that exact moment, Haman ba, and he says to Haman, Ma'ala Ashol Isha Sharmelcha Fates Bikaro, here Kivua Betocha Ir, and Mordechai starts his ascent to power. Haman goes home and he tells his wife what happens. And what does Zeresh's wife say? If Achilosilin Paul Lefanav, Lafalti Paul. If you begin to fall before him, you will surely fall. So it comes through God's waking up, Kaviyachal, calling for the Sefer HaZichronos. Hashem is the Zohar called Nishkachos, and through Hashem's being Misorer, which is what the Medrash says, Haman meets his downfall. That's one teaching of the Medrash on this Pasuk, Yeshno Am Echad. The first claim of Haman is that the Echad Ha'am, meaning God, is sleeping. What about the rest of his claim? So that's what he said about God. Okay? What did he say about the people? About Am Yisrael Tachashverosh? What does it mean, Ve'estasei ha-melech einam osim? What does it mean, mifuzar mifurad? What does it mean, they keep their own religion? And this is so unbelievable, because not much has changed. Davar acher, yeshno amachad. Another thing, says the Medrash, there is this one nation. Amar le, Haman said to Achashverosh, Shinehon ravravan. It's Aramaic, but you should be able to understand. Shinayim Rabim, Rav. Rav means many, great. Shinehon Ravravan. They have big teeth. So today, what do they say? Why do you look confused? That's what they say today. Today, they say they have big noses. So then they said they had big teeth. It's the same thing. Haman said, Tachashverosh, Shinehon Ravravan. They have big teeth. Sha'ochlin v'shosin. They eat, they drink. V'omim oneg Shabbos, oneg Yom Tov. They're gluttons. They're always feasting. It's quite ironic. Who's always feasting? Achashverosh and Haman are always feasting. They're always finding an excuse to eat and to drink. They say it's for Oneg Shabbos. They say it's for Oneg Yom Tov. Furthermore, because they're always eating and drinking, Shemhein Machnisin Pechas B'mamono Sha'olam. They cause a depreciation, a devaluation in the money, in the currency of the world. So today, then they said we have big teeth. Today they say we have big noses. Then he said we control the economy. Today they say we control the economy. They're always in eating and drinking. They control the markets. Shehein mechnisin pachas, like from the word pachos. They cause a devaluation, but mamonu sha'oyom, in the money of the world. They control finances. They control the banks. That's what they said in Europe also. Chada lishiva yom in shabbata. Once every 7 days they need to take off of work. Have you ever heard of this? Every 7 days it's the Sabbath, seriously? Chad l'talsin, yomin reish yarcha. And once a month they have another day. What do they call this other day? Rosh Chodesh. How many holidays could you come up with? B'nisan pischa. In Nisan they have Pesach. Sivan Atzeres. In Sivan, what's Atzeres? The word of the Gemara for Shavuos. That's exactly right. In Sivan, they have Atzeres. B'Tishrei Reishata. In Tisha, they have Rosh Hashanah. V'Tzoma Rabba, the great fast. What's the great fast? Yom Kippur. V'Chaga Dimitalita. Mitaltalin in Aramaic is movable, moving around. So it's interesting that they call Sukkot the Yom Tov of moving around, just as a point of understanding the Aramaic, because we were in booths. It was temporary. And the desert were always moving around. That's just a side point on the Aramaic. So what is he saying? Look how much time off they need. Look how much control they have over the economy. Every 7 days it's Shabbos. Every month it's Rosh Chodesh. In Nisan they have Pesach. In Sivan they have Atzeres, Shavuos, Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, the great fast, the festival of Sukkot. And they have big teeth and they're always eating, and everything they say is for their Oneg Shabbos, Oneg Yom Tov. This is what Haman is saying to Achashverosh. Medrash Esther Rabba Zayin Yud Bis. Amar lo Achashverosh, Achashverosh said to Haman, Kachin Mitzuvin B'Torason. What are they doing wrong? That's how they're commanding their Torah. Interesting, Achashverosh actually for a minute came to the defense of the Jews, just for a short minute. Amar lo Haman, Haman said back to Achashverosh, Ilu hayu misham in esmo hadehem umo adenu yafa hayu osin. If they would have a Chanukiah along with the Christmas tree, then it's okay. But only the Chanukiah? Ilu hayu misham in esmo hadehem umo adenu yafa hayu osin. If they would celebrate their festivals and simultaneously celebrate our festivals, that's okay. Yafeh ha-yosin. It would be very nice. I wouldn't be coming to you if they did that. Ela shemivazin moadecha. Not only do they not celebrate your holidays, they make a bizayon, a bizayon, scorn. They scorn, they mock, they denigrate your holidays. Like the pasuk says, v'eshtasei ha-melach einam osim. That's what I'm going to say. The law of the king they do not keep. They have all of their days, and your laws they don't keep. She'ein mishamim lo kalendas velo tas ranalia. He lists two non-Jewish holidays. They don't observe kalendas. They don't observe Saturnalia. So Saturnalia obviously sounds a lot like Saturn. Kalendas was an eight-day holiday following the winter solstice. Saturnalia was an eight-day holiday preceding the winter solstice. So B'Kitzur, what's he saying? They have their own holidays. It comes up every 5 seconds. They're controlling the money. They're always eating and drinking. If they did theirs and yours, okay, I could tolerate it. But they're not. They are making a bizayon of our national religious holidays. They don't celebrate the eight-day winter solstice before, after. Amar lo, so that's what he said. And it's just, I don't know if you saw that after the Ramot terror attack, and the two Paley brothers were killed, and the 20-year-old Hassan, who remembers his name? If you look it up, please tell me. As soon as you tell me, I'm going to remember his name. So I'm going to remember it on the chat. You can post his name, please. Two names. Letterman? Was it Letterman? Did I just make that up? Could someone look it up, please? Even though the internet's down here. So I don't know if you saw, but going around in the Arab press, did anyone see the cartoon, the caricature? No, there was an anti-Semitic cartoon that you saw, Sharon Vogel. It looked like it came straight out of Nazi Germany. And it showed them feasting around a table, the Arabs feasting around the table, and with the head, the head of the Nifter, the head of the Kadosh V'Hatahor, with a big nose over the table and Hasidic garb, and they were like eating and feasting around his head, around his demise. So me and Sharon thought, could someone look up what his name was, please? Could you Google the Ramot terror attack victims, Jerusalem, February 2023? I should give the cover and properly say the name. Okay, so not much has changed. This is what Haman was saying. We're talking about what was it? Shlomo Lederman. Oh, I said Letterman. Thank you. Shlomo Alter. I think it was Shlomo Alter Lederman. Okay, fine. So Hashem Yikom Damo Tehei Zichro Baruch. I just think it's incredible that the same thing that Haman said is the same thing the Nazis said, is the same things that they say today. And these are totally baseless claims about the Jews. And this idea of how we look different, eat different, and control the world is not a new invention. And this is what Haman said to Achashverosh. It's unbelievable. So what is the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The first one, Yeshno Amachar, we already quoted the Medrash. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in response to Haman, Rasha, Ata Mapil Ayin Rabbamo Adam Shalom, Rasha, wicked one, you're putting an Ayin Hara on their holidays? So what am I going to do? Hare Ani Mapilcha Lifnehem, I will cast you down, I will throw you down before him, Umosufim Lehem Moed Achad, and I will add a yanta for them, Al Mapalscha. So you're causing their holidays to be cast down. What will I do? I'm going to cast you down, and I'm going to add a holiday. I just thought of something that I never thought of before. That's so interesting. Maybe that's why Purim is specifically the holiday where you eat and drink the most. No, I'm not joking. I'm being actually very serious. We use our eating and drinking l'shem shamayim, so the Suda's Purim is a mitzvah. Adilo yada, it's a little complicated, be careful. But we do have an Indian to drink. Matanos lav yonim is so that the ani could have a Suda's Purim. It's supposed to give them enough so they could afford a Suda's Purim. No, I'm actually not making a joke. It's very interesting. What Haman said was, Sha'ochlin v'shosin v'omrim oneg Shabbos oneg Yom Tov. With their big teeth, they're always eating and drinking and saying, oneg Shabbos oneg Yom Tov. And the Medrash says, Hashem says, Rasha, you are casting a wicked eye in their holidays. Behold, I will cast you down and add a holiday before your downfall. But what's the holiday? It's specifically the holiday where we're commanded to eat and drink the most. Mishloach Matos Ish L'Re'eyu is giving food to your fellow. Matanos Lev Yonim is ensuring that the Ani can have food for the Su'udah. The Su'udah's Purim itself, it's a mitzvah to eat, and it's a mitzvah to some degree. Be very careful. Adelo Yada Ben Aruham on the Baruch Mordechai. So maybe that's another reason why Purim is davka a yom tov of the ochlin v'shosin, because Haman accused us of using it for sinful, depraved purposes. We are showing that this holiday that God added through his downfall, which is exactly what the Medrash says, the focus is on using the eating and drinking to elevate ourselves, to use the Lashem Shemayim, and to include our brethren who have less than us. So God said, Rasha ata mapil ayin rabim o'adeim shalahem, hare ani mapilcha lifkneihem, umosifin lem moed achad ama palascha. Zeh yimei ha-purim. And these are the days of Purim. God added us a Yom Tov, in response to Haman's charges. So those are the two first sections of the Medrash. Yesh no am echad. The echad ha'am is sleeping. Hashem answered. Next. Mefuzar mefar v'estasei ha'melech einam osim. There's this weird people with their big teeth. The classic anti-Semitic caricatures. God's response was, I will cause you to fall down and I will add a holiday. Third aspect of the Medrash, in the same Siman here, I'm still in Parsha Zayin Siman Yod Beis, Medrash Esther Rabbah. V'la melech ein shov elahanicham. Why should you keep them? Why do you need these citizens in your kingdom? Kama, this is a very beautiful and interesting Medrash. They're all beautiful. Kama shahaya Haman mekatrig es Yisrael milamata. Everything that Haman was prosecuting us for down below. Why did Haman say, we keep Shabbos, we keep Rosh Chodesh, we keep Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? What else did Haman say? We don't keep their holidays. Our holidays are different. So in other words, was Haman insulting from the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is Haman denigrating us, or if such a thing is possible, complimenting us and building us up before God? Listen, do you understand the kasha? Not denigrating. Haman is saying they keep Shabbos, they keep Rosh Chodesh, they keep Pesach, and Atzeres, and Sukkot, and Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah, and they don't keep your holidays. Exactly. So listen to this. Third section of the Medrash. Kol ma shehayah mekatrig Haman es Yisrael milamata. everything that was a prosecution down below in Olam Hazah, Haman prosecuted Am Yisrael to Achashverosh. Haya Micha'al Milamed Aleim Sanegaria Milamala. Micha'al, the angel, was giving our defense in heaven. So what Haman gave his accusation, the defense attorney in Shemayim brought as a check mark in the box, a star. So down here Haman said, they keep Shabbos. So Michal went to God and said, look, they keep Shabbos. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos, the culture. More about Zachar. And Michal and Haman said, every 30 days is Rosh Chodesh. And Michal went and said, look, HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim. They keep the first mitzvah you ever gave them. And Haman said, they keep Yom Kippur. And Michal said, V'inisem es nafsho sichem. Kol ma shahaya Haman mekatrik es Yisrael milamata. Haya Michal milamid alahem sanei gorya milamala. Everything that Haman prosecuted us for, Michal brought that as a defense before the kisei HaKavod above. Ribono sha'olam, master of the world. Ein banecha mikatrugin lo al sha'avdu avodah zara. Now lemaisa, okay. The next siman in Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:13 talks about the 18,500 Jews who went to the party of Achashverosh. But that wasn't Haman's claims. Haman's not talking about that. Haman's talking about our obsession, in his viewpoint, in a negative sense, with Shabbos, Yom Tov, eating, drinking. You could even say that includes kashrus. Look at their foods that they buy, and not keeping your Yom Tovim. So Michal said, Ribono Sha'olam, Ein banecha mikatrugin lo al sha'avdu avodah zarah. They're not being brought to trial because they worshipped idols. V'lo al shagilu arayos. And not because of sexual immorality. V'lo al shvichus damim. So Michal said, listen, it's taka true. Everything he accused them of should be a merit in the yeshiva shalmala. They filled off all the boxes. They got all the stars. Now they should be rewarded with their life. Ela ein miskatrugin. Ela al shehe misharmim es. What is the prosecution about? That they keep your law. Shashomrim es dosa secha. Das, ish das. Das is religion, law. So actually, Michal, who is brilliant, took the accusations of Haman and he brought it before God in order to save Kaisho. He says, I have all these merits. The merits are what they're being prosecuted above. Amar lo. God said to Michal, Chayecha, I swear by your life, lo shivakis velo eshbak. I have not forsaken them, and I will not forsake them. So Michal, a very smart defense attorney, he looked at the accusation, and he said, I'm going to use exactly the words of accusation to save the people. Hadahu dichtiv ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo. Like the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, Hashem will not forsake his people. Continued God to Michal, Bein chayavim, bein zakayim kach, whether they're guilty or whether they're innocent, I will save them. E efshar, why? Lahanicham, lefisha e efshar la'olam below Yisrael. It's impossible for me to abandon them because it's impossible for the world to exist without Klal Yisrael. So this is a really incredible medrash with three different parts. One, Yeshno Am Echa. Think about this Monday evening, Bezer Hashem, when you hear Megillah, everything that we're learning. Yeshno Am Echa, the Echad Ha'am is sleeping. God's response. Mefuzer Mefurad V'estaseya Melech Einim Osim. The classic charge of anti-Semitism and God's response. You accuse them of having too many holidays. I'm going to give them another holiday, and we propose that perhaps that's why Purim deals so much with eating and drinking. Because Haman accused us in a negative sense of too much eating and drinking. For sinful, depraved purposes, God said, I'm going to give them a Yom Tov, eating of drinking a mitzvah. And finally, the third chelek of the Medrash that we looked at is how Michal was able to save us based on the very accusations of Haman. Now I want to talk about this inyan of Zachar. This whole Shabbos is Shabbos Parsha Zachar. And we noted that the word Zachar appears in both Shemos Yudzayin and Devarim Chafhei, Ksov Zo Zikaron B'Sefer, V'Slim Ba'ozne Yehoshua, Zachar Et Asher Asalecha Amalek. Let's talk about Zachar. Okay? I'm going to begin with Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. The Rav says the eternity of the Jewish nation is based upon continuity. So that's very clear. We know our eternity is based on continuity. If it wasn't based on continuity, we wouldn't be here anymore. The Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker, is based on continuity. And this continuity, in turn, is based mainly on memory. What ensures the continuity of Am Yisrael? Memory. Here lies the fundamental difference between the non-Jewish world and the Jewish nation. The world etches its history on tablets, stones, statues, and pyramids. What was the tribute to Titus in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? An arch. Very nice. It's a very interesting historical piece. But who is here today from the descendants of Titus? Okay, so he etched it in stones, in marble, in statue. It's very nice to go look at if you've ever been zocha to be there. I have not been. I hope one day that I can be there. But the world etches its history on tablets, stones, statues, and pyramids. While our culture is based primarily on memory. We don't need stone tablets. Although my son posted on the family chat yesterday, I don't know if anyone saw, it was so, about the thing from Tel Lachish, the stone. Two hikers in December were in Tel Lachish when they discovered an ancient stone. I don't know what it was, clay pottery shard. They took it to the Israel Antiquities Authority. And it's actually an inscription from 400 before the Common Era, and it includes the name of Daryavash. And it's related to the Purim miracle. I could look it up now, but no, I'm not going to with everything going on. Alter Shlomer Letterman, thank you. Alter Shlomer Letterman. Shem Yikom Damo. So it has the inscription of the name. I'm afraid if I try and find it, I'm going to mess everything up. I only had time to read it this morning, actually. They just found an inscription bearing the name of King Ahasuerus' father, discovered in Tel Lachish. So cool. A 2,500-year-old pot shard was found by visitors at Tel Lachish in Israel's southeastern flatlands. It bears a brief inscription with the name of the Persian king, Daryavash the Great, the father of King Ahasuerus from the story of the Megillah. I'm skipping, I'm not going to read you the whole thing. In December 2022, two Israelis were in Tel Lachish National Park. They came along across this little pottery shard with inscribed letters. Like good citizens, they reported to the Israel Antiquities Authority. Dr. Chagai Misgav of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem realized it served as a rare evidence for the Persian royal administration at Lachish at the turn of the 5th century before the Common Era. The Aramaic inscription reads, year 24 of Daryavash, dating it to 498 before the Common Era. Just for your reference, the Churban was 586 before the Common Era. So this is about 100 years after the Churban. When I picked up the clay, recalled Elyon Levi, when I picked up the clay and I saw the inscription, my hands trembled. I looked left and right for a candid camera. I was sure someone was playing an elaborate prank on me. The Persian era residence extended over a large area, elaborate hallways, courtyards, columned Persian-style portico entrance. It appears the inscribed clay piece may have been an administrative note, akin to a receipt for goods. So today they give you, now they email you. They ask you if you want it by email or text. But some places still give you a receipt, so it was a receipt. Lachish was a major fortified city with a temple. It was tasked with tax collection on behalf of the Persian Empire. So basically nothing in society has changed from the beginning to the end to today's time. It was tasked with tax collections on behalf of the Persian Empire. The collected taxes were dispatched in the central administrative building and may be the earliest administrative inscription from the Persian period found in Israel. It has the name of Daryavash, Ahasuerus' father, and they just found it. Unbelievable. It is unbelievable. So who do we have today? Okay, so I don't know. The question is, how could be Ahasuerus' father? Ahasuerus didn't come from Malchus. That's true. I thought Daryavash was Esther's son. Ahasuerus was a stable boy. The Gemara tells us, the Medrash. I'm quoting the article. I have no idea. I'm not a historian. the point was not to be historical archaeologist of biblical archaeology, but that the world etches its history on stones and tablets. Okay? The world etches its history on tablets, stones, statues, and pyramids, while our cultural history, says the Rav, is based primarily on memory. At the same time that Moshe commanded Yehoshua to write, he also commanded him to remember. Ksov zos, write it down. But not only write it down, zikaron. Ksov zos zikaron basefer. You must write it, but not only is it enough to write it, you must remember. While the modern world, says the Rav, suffers from memory deficit, our attaining the state of Israel is thanks to the eternal memory of Knesset Yisrael. Why? The eternal memory. Why do you want to go back to land where you were kicked out of 2,000 years ago? Just melt into the melting pots of the countries where you live. What other nation wants to go back to a land where they were exiled from so many millennia ago? But if we were exiled, then we still pine. You know the famous story of Napoleon. Even of Salvechuk tells it over. So it's a very famous story of Napoleon, and he saw a Jew sitting on the floor and crying. It was France. It was dark. There was one candle. And Rabbi Zav Lev tells it over. Rabbi Salvechuk tells it over. So I'm quoting very, very chash of reliable sources. So it must be a true Mesorah. So Napoleon passed by the base Knesset, and he said, this is how Rabbi Zav Lev tells it over. And he said to his soldiers, why are the Jews crying? Why are the Jews crying? So they said, oh, the temple was destroyed. Thank you. So they said, why was the temple destroyed? So Napoleon was told, they're crying because their temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. So he dispatches some messengers, and he says, I didn't hear about this. A temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. So he dispatches messengers to find out about the destroyed temple. So they come back. They say, no, it wasn't destroyed. Now it was destroyed 1,800 years ago. So he said, they're crying over a temple that was destroyed 1,800 years ago. Rav Salvechuk says, our attaining the state of Israel is thanks to the eternal memory of Knesset Yisrael. Because we remember, and our history is not only based on a stone piece found in Tel Lachish, but because we remember, it is a living memory. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks points out something incredible, which I wrote about. If you read my Dvar Torah post from this morning, I wrote it there. And I was so moved when I first read this from Rabbi Sacks. It's brought down probably in many places, but it's brought down in the Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Haggadah. In the back of the Haggadah, there are a series of essays. It's a very long essay, but one point he makes just is so moving and incredible. Rabbi Sacks points out that in biblical Hebrew, there is no word for history. I find this unbelievably moving. In biblical Hebrew, there is no word for history. In fact, he points out that modern day Ivrit needed to borrow a word from another language. How do you say history in modern day Ivrit? Historia. That's not Lashon HaKodesh. The word does not even exist. This is unbelievable. That means that according to the Torah viewpoint, there's no such thing as history. Rather, what is the key word of the Hebrew Bible, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks? What do you think I'm going to say? Memory. What? Memory. Zachor. In fact, he says that in the Hebrew Bible, the word Zachor, the Shoresh Zachor, appears no less than 169 times. In Lashon HaKodesh, there's no word for history. That means history doesn't exist in Lashon HaKodesh. But the word Zachor, the Shoresh Zachor, occurs no less than 169 times. How are we introduced to Shabbos? Zachor 28. Shemos, Perachav, Pasuches. The first thing you have to know about Shabbos is Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. If you want to keep Shabbos, then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Erev Shabbos, you have to remember that there's a Shabbos. You have to remember you have to shop for Shabbos, cook for Shabbos, get the house ready for Shabbos. If you don't have a remembrance of this act, then how are you going to prepare for it? The first thing you have to know about Shabbos is Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. What are we commanded about Miriam, 24:9 in Devarim? Zachor es asher asah Hashem elokecha leMiriam b'derech betzeischem b'mitzrayim. What do you have to know about Amalek? Zachor es asher asah lecha Amalek b'derech betzeischem b'mitzrayim. K'sov zos zikaron b'sefer. If you want to build for the future, what do you need to know? What does Moshe say in Hazinu Devarim 32? Zechor yemos olam. Binu shnos dar vadar shala vicha v'yigadcha zekeinecha v'yom b'lach. Zechor, remember the years gone by. Binu shnos dar vadar has two meanings. One is build upon the years from generation to generation, and the other one is lahavin, understand the years from generation to generation. How will you remember the past if you weren't here? Shala vicha v'yigadcha. Your father was here. Zekeinecha, your grandfather was here. V'yom b'lach. You want to know how the world, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye letter, his final words to the people, Zechor Yemos Olam. But how can you remember? Only if you ask your father, Sha'al Avicha, V'yagercha, Zekei Necha V'yom Rulach. Rabbi Sacks says that memory is my story, whereas history is his story. So it's very interesting to learn about the French Revolution. Maybe it's interesting to you. I don't know. The Boston Tea Party. The American Civil War. It's interesting history. But it has nothing to do with me. I mean, do you feel emotionally connected to the Boston Tea Party? Don't tell me if you do, because I don't want to know. Okay? Most of us, I think, are going to venture to say that we have no vested interest in the Boston Tea Party, besides the fact that it might be interesting if you learn it with an interesting history teacher. What does that have to do with me? Nothing. Actually nothing. History, says Rabbi Sacks, is his story. Rav Soloveitchik says it's etched in stones, statues. You could go to the museum, you could see the wing. It might be fascinating. But it's not about you. That is historia. And historia is not a word that its origin is in Lashon HaKodesh. Because from the Torah viewpoint, the Ribbono Shel Olam's viewpoint, there's no such thing. We don't live history. We live in memory. There's a very big difference between living in history and living in memory. History is something other than myself. History happened to somebody else. History has no bearing on me or my destiny. Memory, think of a memory. I don't know, one time when you were in Eretz Yisrael, one time when you had a simcha, one time something happened that uplifted you. You have memories of difficult times also. But they evoke emotions in us. If it's a difficult time, it evokes sadness. If it's a happy time, it evokes joy. Why? We were just talking about Shabbos. We were just talking about this coming Shabbos, Parsha Zachar. No, we were not having a shir this morning in the kitchen. We were talking about Parsha Zachar. And I said, oh my gosh, I remember last year, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was staying at the King's Hotel. And the minion in the King's Hotel, they read Zachar in four different nuscha'ot. And I didn't know why, and I said to the Israeli next to me, why are they doing this? So she said, to accommodate all the different, there's Nusach Ashkenaz, Ari, Eidud HaMizvach, Sephardi, it was so cool. And then I said, oh my gosh, that means this time last year I was in Eretz Yisrael. That's a memory. That's not history. You don't go to the university and study, I don't know, ancient Near East languages. It could be interesting, but it has nothing to do with you. So it doesn't evoke feeling in you. But memory is my story. Now, it could be a positive by memory, could be a melancholy, like, oh my gosh, last year I was in Yerushalayim, this time last year, and now I'm in not Yerushalayim. It evokes a melancholy feeling in you. It evokes nostalgia. Memories could evoke sadness. They could evoke joy. But they all move you because it's your story. So how could my story be the story of the Jews 1,000 years ago? The story of the Jews 2,000 years ago, the story of the Jews on the plains of the desert when Amalek attacked them because of the Masorah. It's the responsibility of every person to pass on your memory to the next generation. That's exactly what Moshe says at the end of his life. Zechor Yemos Olam. Remember the years gone by, the years of the world. Binu Shnot Dor Vador. Two meanings. Lahavin means two things. One, live no to build. And two, to understand. If you want to understand, in order to build the years from generation to generation, he gives you the clue. What do you have to do? How are you going to have Zechor Yemos Olam? I wasn't there in the time of Esther and Ahasuerush. I wasn't there in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why do we feel personally connected to these events? Why do you feel personally connected to the story of Haman? You're able to relate to it. When you hear that medrash, are you not able to relate? The caricature of Alter Schlomer Letterman, Hashem Yukom Damo, was exactly what Haman was describing. You feel personally invested. That means it's a memory, it's not history. This whole Shabbos is called Shabbos Parshas Zachor. Zachor es asher salachama. You were there. It's you. It's not history. It's not the Royal Ontario Museum, and it's not the American Museum of Natural History. They're both beautiful museums. But it's even called the American Museum of Natural History, as opposed to our days in the state of Israel called Yom HaZikaron, not Yom Historia. Because that means Yom HaZikaron is the day when everyone remembers my story, not somebody else's story. I mean, how is it that a Jew watches? I took time on Monday, 45 minutes. I do not have 45 extra minutes. I don't know, 5 extra minutes. I took 45 minutes on Monday and I watched the double of Aya. If you want to see it, it's on YouTube. I could send you the link. It's Mamish Kedai to take the time. So why do you cry for people you never even met, families you don't even know? Because it's our story. That's Zechor, as the Shere Salach HaMaik. Zechor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Zechor Yom HaShere Amad L'Fnei Hashem El-Kecha B'choriv. Zechor is HaShere Salach HaShem El-Kecha L'Mir. I said that one already. Zechor is HaShere Salach HaMaik. Sov Zo Zikaron B'Sefer. Through memory, we change history into our living destiny. You don't think it's unbelievable. It was worth coming to this year to hear Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks that there is no word for history in Lashon HaKodesh. And yet the word, the Shoresh, for Zachar occurs 169 times. And he points out something incredible. He points out something so beautiful. And that is that he says his predecessor, Rabbi Lord Jacobovitz, Zichrono Levracha, points out that the prayer for the deceased that is recited on the holidays is known as Yizkor. Yizkor is in the future tense. It's not the past tense. The yud is yizkor, to remember. I'm remembering somebody who passed away. What do you mean yizkor is for the future? Are we talking about people who are no longer here? Not people who will be born, people who are no longer here. We remember the past in order to build and preserve and continue into the future. And that's what Parshas Zachor is. Yes, it's about remembering Amalek. I say it many times. I don't know, it's not so hard to, I don't know, we need to be commanded to remember something you could never forget. Amalek never lets us forget. B'chol dar v'dar, amdi maleinu l'chal, said, how could you forget Amalek? They don't let you forget. How could you forget? But it's not only about remembering Amalek and the ancient claims against the Jews and the Medrash, their big teeth, today it's big noses, their control of the world economy, all the food that they eat. It's not only remembering Vayizane b'chol kol nechshalim acharecha, yechoseich milos, v'zorei klapei malas. It's not about an ancient history. It's about remembering that it's our story, our destiny, our reality, our memory. And that's something that we have an obligation to pass on to our children. And from Purim, we go to Pesach. The entire focus of Pesach is on the children. Today, Yishalu Hatinokos. Why? Because how will we ensure that the experience, not story, the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim will continue in every generation? V'higadu talabincha bayamahu leimor. Ba'avur za asha Hashem li. It's not someone else's story. Asa Hashem li b'tzei si mi Mitzrayim. I was there. I experienced it. It's my memory, not someone else's story. It's not an encyclopedia that you pick up and close and never read again. It's a brilliant, incredible insight into the survival of Knesset Yisrael. I'm putting together Rav Soloveitchik with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks based on the Lashon of the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik says, who is Amalek? He is the personification of total evil. Amalek is the personification of total evil. To put together these 2 1-hour classes, Shiurim. He is the personification of total evil, for whom immorality has become the norm. This is the Rav, but how it relates to Yoram Chazoni. What is the norm for Amalek? Immorality. Lo Yarei Elokim. Contrast that to Am Yisrael. Mipnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zaken v'yareisa me'elokecha. Atar yadati, how could he do this at Avim Balach? Atar yadati, raki ein yiras alokim b'makam hazeh. V'yarguni al dvavar ishti. In ben huva miten ozo uvatir ena hamiyaldos es alokim. Amalek is the total personification of complete evil, says the Rav, for whom immorality has become the norm. Amalek is more than a Bedouin tribe. He is more than a particular group, more than a nationality or a people. Amalek is the every man, capital every man gone berserk. Amalek has shed the divine image within for that of the Satan. Amalek is more than a Bedouin tribe. He is more than a particular group. He is more than a nationality or a people. He is every man gone berserk. He has shed his divine image for the image of Satan. This is the persistent villainy that the Lord bid us to combat. This is the persistent villainous evil that the Almighty has commanded us to combat, and against which the Almighty has sworn eternal enmity. It is for this reason that there is a positive biblical commandment, Zachor, Asa Sharasalacha Amalek, Bederach Betseischem Mitzrayim, Lo Tishkach, do not forget. You have an Achrayus, it's not an accident that Lashon Zachar, Zachar Nekeva, refers to the male. It's the same shoresh as Zachor, to remember. It's the obligation of every father slash rabbi slash rav slash parent figure to pass on the Zachor must pass of Yigadot Olabincha. The male, the father, the parent, the rabbi must pass on the Zikaron B'Sefer, the Simba Ozne, HaTalmidim, HaBanim, to understand that Yizkor is in the future tense. We can only pass on the reality of our history when we realize our history is not history. It's living memory and national destiny. Ezer Hashem, it will carry us forward. Abiyas God said that we should be zocha to see, just like they merited v'nahafachu, asher yishlatu ha-yehudim heima b'soneihem. Halavai, we should merit the same. I wish everybody a meaningful Pasha Zachar. And Be'ezer Hashem Afreich and Purim, just remember, please, the calendar. Okay, I'm going to announce it again in case you weren't here in the beginning of class. This is very important. March 9th, there is Shir. That's next week. March 16th, there is no Shir. March 23rd, there is Shir. And March 30th, there is no Shir. That means we have two more classes before we break for Pesach in this venue. We will meet on March 9th, Be'ezer Hashem, and we will meet on March 23rd, and then we're off for a month till April the 20th. Okay? I will see you next week. Afreidach and Purim. Thank you so much to all. Kol Tov.